I'd like you to open your Bible again with me, please, at that portion of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And in the verse 27, Hannah says this, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition." Now our churches have come to special times of prayer, and we have also had our minister's week of prayer. And this Sabbath morning, I want to focus our thoughts in particular upon the power of prevailing prayer, as we find it highlighted here in the story of Hannah. No doubt, as we come to this chapter, we're not coming to a portion of Scripture that is unfamiliar to God's people. And the story of Hannah is one that is very, very interesting, and one, of course, that touches the heart of every sympathetic and understanding child of God. Hannah comes to us in the Bible as a woman who is grieved in her heart and is deeply wounded in her spirit. We know from the record of the chapter that she is being buffeted and she is being beaten up emotionally by her adversary and enemy. As we read the chapter, we see that she is a person who is misunderstood, even by her spiritual guide himself. And she is bitterly criticized. And for all this, we find that Hannah's tears are flowing like a fountain. And because of her continual fretting, we read that she can't even eat. Now, Hannah is a woman with a broken heart and with a contrite spirit. Now, that is something that this world despises. But that is something that God does not despise, because we read in Psalm 34 and the verse 18 where it says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." This is a chapter. It is a story. It's a person with whom many of God's people can identify at some stage in their Christian journey. Maybe even today there's someone in this congregation and you can well identify with Hannah at this particular moment. The Bible reminds us, of course, that all of us are called to wayfaring and to warfaring struggles, but like Hannah, we need more and more to place our confidence in God himself. Hannah, her name means gracious, graciousness or favor. And when you look at this lady, you will discover that all those characteristics are found in young Samuel's mother. The chapter itself sets forth her sanctity, speaks of her sorrow, her supplication, her song, and her sacrifice. This is a chapter which is a good illustration concerning the power of prevailing prayer. It has been often said to me, and I believe it to be absolutely true, that the greatest enemy that God has put in the hand of any of his people is the weapon of prayer. And that is true, because God himself said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And he reminds us that he is the God of the impossible, a God who hears, a God who answers prayer. And we need, like Hannah, to place great confidence in our God. As we come to look at the subject before us in the light of Hannah here, I want you to notice, first of all, Hannah's predicament. The Bible says in verse 2 of Elkanah that he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, and here's Hannah's predicament. Hannah had no children. The Bible says that she was the favorite wife of Elkanah. A godly man, but sadly one who followed the customs of the day. It was an age, of course, when people, every man doing that which was right in his own eyes, but it meant that Hannah found herself in a very unhappy situation, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And that was a source of great grief to Hannah. But the reason for that is found in verse 5. And there the Bible says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Now this was the Lord's doing. And the Lord had shut up her womb. Sometimes, folks, it's very difficult to understand what God is doing. And sometimes there can be this inclination to jump ahead of God. And I believe that is exactly what Elkanah did, thinking that Hannah would never have children. So he jumps ahead of God and takes a wife to have children in the person of Peninnah. But you know, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and the verse 28, and we know that all things, and we need to mark those words, all things work together for good to them that love God. It does not say, and we know that some things work together for good, or most things work together for good, or many things work together for good, but all things concerning the child of God, all things. That is very, very, very big, isn't it? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purposes. Now, in that particular period of human history, barrenness of the womb was often seen as an act of God's displeasure, and it became a reproach. That's how it was with Rachel. Well, the Bible tells us in Genesis 30 and the verses 22 through to 24, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. So the thing was a reproach in those days. And she called his name Joseph. It was Hannah's desire, like the desire of any other woman, to embrace to her bosom a child of her own flesh. But at that given time, God had shut up her womb. But her adversary has taken what is the legitimate will of God and has used it as a weapon to beat Hannah. With the result that you see her distress there in verse 6. Her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. We must always be aware of the devil's devices. And the devil often takes a believer's circumstances even over which we have no control whatsoever, and uses them as a rod to beat us. And that's how it was with Samuel's mother. Her adversary here on this occasion was Peninnah, Elkanah's other wife. But every child of God has their enemy, and has to contend with that adversary, the devil. And Peter exhorts us concerning him, the devil, to be sober, to be vigilant, But he says this, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. And again, those words are so, so expressive. As a roaring lion. Walking about seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes when you go to certain parks to see wild animals, and I've done that on occasions because I am very interested, but most times when I walk in and or drive in, I wouldn't advise you to walk, drive in, lions are just lions sleeping. They lift their head and look as if to say, what's he looking at? Yawn and lie back again. But this is the picture of a roaring lion. A roaring lion is hungry for its prey. And is ferocious and vicious. The devil is no friend of you as a child of God. And Peter says, he seeks whom he may devour. And he wants to destroy the child of God and devastate the child of God. And Hannah was greatly distressed because of her adversary. Taking her circumstances, using them as a weapon to attack her. But Hannah had no control over her circumstances, neither had her husband, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And you know, folks, the Bible makes it abundantly clear that what God shuts, no man can open, and what God opens, no man can shut. And of course, you and I need to understand that there are doors that God will open to you and to me to serve him. And it doesn't matter what happens, no one can shut that door. But there are doors that God shuts, and no matter how we try to press them open, they will not be opened. God shuts and God opens to his own glory. Just like Noah, when God bid him come into the ark, and the Bible says he came into the ark, and then it says in Genesis 7, and the Lord shut him in. Now I'm sure you could picture the scene of devastation as people began to realize that they were in terrible danger. No matter how they would have pleaded with Noah, Noah couldn't open the door of the ark because he hadn't shut it. God had shut the door of the ark. And of course, you know, folks, there's no need for you and me to doubt the safety and security of our salvation in Christ, because when God saves us by his grace, we are shut in Christ by God, and not even the devil can touch you regarding your position in Christ. So it was God's will at that particular moment that Hannah would not have children. But the enemy took her legitimate circumstances and situation and used them as a weapon to distress Hannah. Again, maybe there's someone here today. And only God knows your heart, because man looks in the outward appearance, but God looks down into the deeper recesses of our soul. Can it be there's someone and the devil is giving you a hard time, taking your circumstances to discourage you, to defeat you? Maybe there's a parent here today. And the devil is taking your home circumstances and your family circumstances, and he's giving you a hard time. You're a Christian, and you walk with God, and you attend God's house, and you go to the place of prayer, and you prayed for your children. You've set an example before them, but somehow they're not following in your footsteps. The devil's telling you it's your fault, and you failed. But you must remember, folks, what the Bible says about the devil, that he is a liar and that he is the father of lies. And the Bible tells us not to give up, because in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, He will not depart from it. Verses 6 and 7 of the chapter indicate the severity of the attack on Hannah, because it says in the verse 7, "And as he did so, they were going up year by year to worship God. And when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." How expressive are those words? Like a festering wound that would not heal. It was ongoing year after year. Even when she went up to the house of God, she didn't find it a place of refuge from this attack. Even in God's house, adversary was, there was no escaping of it. And Hannah becomes depressed. Now she can't even eat. She is literally eaten up with worry. And all she can do is weep. I have no medical knowledge whatsoever. But what has happened here, folks, is this. Hannah has fallen into a very dark place in her life. She's dropped into a terrible state of depression. And she's not eating, and she's weeping, and weeping. And of course, God's people are not immune from depression either. Some of God's people suffer greatly in that area of their life. But we must remember this, folks, that disappointments are often God's appointments, and Hannah was soon to find this out to be so. Read the story of a young man, a young lawyer in America. He fell into a terrible state of depression, so much so that his friends and family were worried about him, lest he would self-harm, and they took everything, like knives and razors and anything that he could damage himself with, they put it beyond his control and beyond his reach. And during that period of depression, that young man wrote, he said, "I am now the most miserable man alive." That's how he felt. He said, "Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell, but I am awfully afraid I will not." But he sought the Lord in prayer, and he did recover. And one day, he became one of America's greatest presidents in the person of Abraham Lincoln. It was a dark period in Hannah's life, but that's not the end of the story. Because we've not only her predicament in that she was childless, and she's now in deep depression. But then we see Hannah's petition. The Bible says in verse 10, or verse 9, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." Now here's the thing we have to be clear about. Hannah is childless, but she's not prayerless. And it doesn't matter what our circumstances and situations are, we have still the privilege of praying. And her pain found refuge in prayer, and she besought the great Creator to lift her into the empire of motherhood, to interfere with the law of nature on her behalf. Remember, he's the God of the impossible. You know, sometimes problems and pain will drive people, even Christian people, in rebellion against God. Because trouble makes us better. Or it makes us better. But Hannah is not blaming God here, and we need to be clear on that, folks, when it says in verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul. This is a very painful thing to this woman. But she takes her situation to the Lord, and the Lord remembered her. You know, Joseph Scriven, out of tragic circumstances in his life, wrote that great hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." All our sins and griefs to bear, engaged to be married to a girl out at Banbridge, took her horse for a ride before the wedding, fell from her horse, was tragically killed. There was no wedding. He was devastated. A couple of years later, he left the Banbridge area, emigrated to Canada, lived in a little place called Port Hope outside Toronto, met and found love again. The girl he was to marry, and all had been arranged, wanted to be baptized, and there's a lake there called Lake Rice. And she was baptized in the lake, but the water was cold, she took pneumonia, and she died. And out of those tragic experiences, he wrote a letter to his mother, the content of which was, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And folks, we must bring everything, the minute details of our life, to the Lord in prayer. Now, thinking of Hannah's petition here, you can see the cause of it. She was in bitterness of soul. What does that mean? That bitterness there means angry. Hannah was angry. She wasn't angry with God because God had shut up her womb. She was angry with her adversary because her adversary was taking her legitimate circumstances and using them as a rod to beat her. Like a bear robbed of her whelps, as the Bible says. She's hurt. And she's distressed. And Hannah's distraught. And she's angry with Peninnah, who is gloating over her predicament. Oh, Christian, never gloat over somebody else's predicament. Because that predicament could be yours one day. And she flees to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes God allows things in our lives to bring us closer to Him, to cause us to realize our total dependence upon Him, that we might understand how great He is, how powerful the weapon of prayer is. Scriven wrote, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit." And that was true of Hannah. "Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." You can see not only the cause of it, but the character of her prayer. Because the Bible says here in verse 11, "And she vowed a vow." And you know, the Bible reminds us, folks, that when we vow vows, we keep the vows. Better never to vow than to vow and not pay. But Hannah has made a vow. She's making a promise to God, and she's going to keep that promise. She vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, remember me, not forget me, but give unto thine handmaid a child, I will give him unto the Lord." She's bargaining with God. She's promising to God. And when we come to the end of the story, we see that she kept her promise. She gave the child back to the Lord. She persevered in prayer, but you see that in verse 12. It came to pass as she continued praying. Don't we give up too easy in prayer? And more than that, she was specific in prayer, because in verse 27 it says, "For this child I pray." She was specific. She pinpointed what she wanted. She had a target. And you know, sometimes, and folks, it's great to pray, but sometimes we pray, and at the end of the day, when it's all done and said, we prayed for nothing specifically. But she could say, "For this child." She was specific. And we need to be specific in prayer. And at the end of it, she could say, "The Lord has answered my prayer. The Lord has given me my petition, which I have asked of him." Of course, you'll be familiar with the story of King Hezekiah. And sick unto death, cried that God would intervene, prolong his life. And God said, "I have seen thy tears, and I have heard thy prayers, and I will heal thee." Specific answer to specific praying. And folks, we need to be specific in our praying. It was George Mueller, prayed for five of his friends, prayed for some of them all his entire Christian life. And after 5 years, two of those people were saved. In a 10-year period, two more of them came to the Lord. He prayed for 25 years before the fourth one got saved, and for 52 years before his fifth friend came to the Lord. You can see the criticism of Hannah's prayer as well. You see, in verse 13, the Bible says, "Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard." Now, previous to that, in the verse 12, it says that Eli marked her mouth. He was taking keen interest in Hannah. And he saw her lips moving, but he didn't hear her voice. And so he made his conclusion that Hannah is drunk. He made a judgment on what he saw, but not on what he knew. And that, sadly, led to the criticism of Hannah. And he accused her of being drunk. Should have been her spiritual guide, her spiritual counselor, should have been an encouragement to her. But rather, he has become a criticism of her. He has condemned her praying. He's condemned her person. Eli was the priest, but sadly, he wasn't a spiritual man. We know that on other occasions. And instead of helping Hannah, he hindered Hannah. He had not a pastor's heart. But you know, the good thing is this, that in spite of that criticism, Hannah kept praying. You know, the devil would say to you, "Sure, you've gone to that church prayer meeting all your life, and sure, where's there a specific answer to your prayer?" But Hannah kept praying. Whatever the discouragements are, Christian, you need to keep talking to the Lord about those things. George Mueller again said, "I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about. I pray when I lie down. I pray when I rise up. And God answers my prayers." It was Isaac Newton who said, "All my discoveries have been made in answer to prayer." Hannah criticized by her spiritual guide, and of course, one who is beaten up by her adversary, Hannah keeps praying. Which brings us to our conclusion, Hannah's peace. Because when she pointed out to Eli that, I'm not drunk, I'm praying. And you know, folks, here's the thing. Hannah couldn't pray publicly, but she still went to the public place to pray. That's very important. And the devil would say to you, you don't need to go to the prayer meeting, so you can't pray publicly. But you still need to go to the public place of prayer. For Hannah prayed in her heart, though not audibly, God marvelously answered her prayer. With the result that we read there, in verse 17, Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And the verse 18 says, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and, listen, did eat. Things have changed. She couldn't eat before this. And her countenance was no more sad. God had answered her prayer. Prayer had changed the situation. And that's how it is, folks. There's power in prevailing prayer. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Folks, in that Hannah prayed, in that God answered prayer, there was born one of the greatest prophets in Israel's history. And his prominence in Scripture is emphasized by the fact that there's two books named after him, called Samuel. Why? She said, because I asked him of the Lord. And what a moment it was when she could come and stand before Eli and say, look, this boy has a specific answer to prayer. So never be discouraged in the place of prayer. God hears and God answers prayers. Again, Scriven says, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Whatever your problem, follow Hannah's example. Take it to the Lord. He answers prayer. Let's bow together for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks indeed that we come to a God who hears and a God who answers prayer. One whose ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. You've said, call upon me and I will answer thee and will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And Lord, we realize that you see each individual today and ask that you will perfect that which concerns each one. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, can we take the time just to sing that great hymn, 625, of Joseph Scrivens, on the page 428. The hymn 625, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll separate us with your blessing. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with all your people this day, then forevermore. Amen.